Hello, hello, Beth Martins here. It's April 17, 2024. Coming to you live today, I'm going to be showing my talk at Anarchapulco 2024 Reborn. Fantastic theme, turned out to be just exactly bang on. So I thought I would come a few minutes early because I gave people late notice that this was happening. So maybe a few people will join. And if you're out there, I'm going to get Rockfin going as well and drop a link so it's ready to go. And if anyone would prefer to watch on Rockfin, here is a link in the chat. We're also live to Rumble. Rumble is good. I'm going to view this on Rumble, see what happens. And there she be. So I can... Oh, there I am. Me again. So here is a Rumble link. And hello, Susie Gemini. Nice to see you. Nice to hear from you. Fantastic. I'm glad you could make it. That's really good. If you are not already in contact with me by email, that is, of course, the most reliable way since all of the platforms are stupidly censored. And I consider myself really decentralized, have a little handful here and a little handful there. We're also live on X. And let's see what happens when I look at that. I don't know how people are supposed to find me there. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but I'm going to grab a link if anybody likes that platform right now that seems to be kind of uncensored. So here is X. And then after this is recorded, you will be able to catch it on my podcast channels on iTunes and iTunes, Spotify, and Anchor FM and a few others like that. Hello, Lamb Chop. Nice to see you too. Glad you're here. Good to have a few friends. And I could have just uploaded this video, but it's never nearly as much fun this way. I get to see you guys. I get to talk to you guys, maybe get some feedback. And it was a really remarkable experience for me to get on stage there at Anarchapulco. It was my fourth time presenting. So in 2020, I had kind of tried to fight my way in. That was my way, can still be my way, but not so much anymore. And somebody I knew was presenting there. So I'm like, okay, I'm going, I want to meet that person. So I bought my ticket. And then I thought, I always think to myself, well, it would be better if I was presenting something because it makes it even more worthwhile for me and gives me more motivation and everything like that. Thank you, Susie. I appreciate that. And then, yeah, getting on stage was really an act of bravery, I have to say. The only thing I could do that morning was get ready. That was the only thing I could do was get dressed, you know, slowly one little piece at a time and looking in a mirror this big to try to get ready in the intense heat. If you just have an idea about what the context was, there was like 32 degrees, heavy humidity. It was really oppressive. It was really like a kaboom. And even early in the morning, it was intense, never mind later in the day. And the stage had just a little bit of light covering, but not a lot of covering. So I was all prepared with an umbrella and a hat and everything like that. But I managed to keep it together so I could just have my my head free to give the talk. And then when I gave the talk, you know, I chose the subject to be quite esoteric, and I wanted to reach certain kind of people in that audience because Anarchapulco attracts, you know, anarcho-capitalists, you know, for lack of, I don't like that term very much. I don't like any label very much, but it does describe those king heroes that tend to be more brave. They tend to take risks. They get out there. They don't just sit back and complain about things that are bad, and they don't cry in their soup and, oh, poor me, poor me. They get up and they do something about it, and they find some way to be valued for their work and their purpose. And I have immense admiration for that. I was born and raised by those entrepreneurs who risked everything to get out and do something that was more suitable to them than just work in a job that compromised their values and made them feel like they were doing nothing but making money. So this is always part of my agenda as a business coach. If you guys don't even know, I'm a business coach possibly, but that's what I help people do, is to go for their life purpose full time so that they can be engaged in their purpose all day long while they're working. So I think many people aspire to this, and many people also have huge resistance to this, and that's okay. I never go out and go, you should do it. Because if you haven't internally decided and committed to it inside yourself, then I mean, I can help you find the desire and the commitment, absolutely. But it's a lot of work. It's very intense. And as one of my favorite speakers, I can't remember their name, so I apologize. I saw many years ago, but it really stuck with me. He got on stage, a very successful businessman with massive operation and a team, and so humble, really humble. And he kept saying, well, you know, I'm the one on my team that knows the least of anybody. And my claim to fame is that I hire people smarter than me. Some people are really afraid to do that, to bring someone smarter into their world. I'm in the process now with coaches, and you know, there's some incredibly gifted people, especially my apprentices. Huge shout out to you guys. And then so this is what he said that really got me. And he says that you can be an overnight success in 25 years. And it's like, ah, okay. So you're in it for the long haul then. And you know what? It's been almost 25 years since I survived cancer and determined that I was not going to go back to the corporate world. I was going to forge ahead with what I had independently, not, you know, have a job, whether it was with my parents' firm or any other job, because I could have done that. I was well-trained in marketing, communication, media relations, all kinds of things. And I could have gone and just got a lucrative job in that field. But I decided, no, that nearly cost me my life. So I'm going to go humbly forward with what I have. And it was many years of evolution and changing. If you went back over time, then you would see the threads of my purpose, but it really has transformed and come to this time in life. So when I delivered this talk, thank you, Susie. When I delivered, I write about in my book, by the way, if you haven't got a copy of that, it's got the whole story in there weaved through the archetypes of the hero's journey. And so when I got on stage, I was really specifically talking to those courageous souls that are out there, and they tend to get stuck in a way that is very invisible. It's invisible stuckness, because when you're, you know, just crying in your soup and feeling like a victim and complaining or even raging against the machine, then you're not doing anything good and productive. But guess what? There's programming that is a trap for those who are higher up the scale. And if you haven't heard all of my work on ascension myth busting yet, it might be a good time to check in with that. This is one of the crux of it, very specific for those king heroes who have the high energy. And it's my wish for them to not just have high energy, but to go free, right? Because it's about freedom. It's not about frequency. Ooh, there's a good line. So without further ado, I'm going to play the talk. It went for 45 minutes. So, and then after, if you guys are still around, I will jump back on and have a chat with y'all for the remaining time that we have today. So I think just going to actually check what I had on, and look at that, I'm free. Perfect. Okay, my dears, so here is the talk from Anarchapulco. They were a shout out to the folks at Anarchapulco to be so generous. I did consider, oh, maybe I could screen record it myself from the paid product, but I have a lot of respect for that. They put that event together, and then they put the package together for people to go and be able to take part in that, and it, you know, to listen to all the recordings. And I still highly recommend getting that package, because there was one phenomenal speaker after the other, and I was shocked and surprised and happily surprised that there was just so much value in it. So I do highly recommend getting yourself that package. And hello to everybody on Rockfin, and we can see if people made it over to Rumble. And yep, there's some folks over there and X. Let's see if anybody's watching on X. Nope, we don't have anybody on X yet. I don't know how to find myself there. Maybe I can work on that. And yeah, so without further ado, oh, you're very welcome, Lamb Chop. I appreciate that. And yeah, this is a little scary for me. I'm probably going to have to run in circles while we listen, but that's how it goes. I never mind sharing something with people. of values. So here we go. And I'm going to make that window a little bit bigger so it covers the screen. And if you guys don't mind to just share in the chat if you can hear the audio, please.
All right, we've got Beth Martins coming to the stage. She's a business coach. She's helping to deprogram. She's a deprogramming coach. God knows we can use this in our society. I swear you are never going to run out of business. She is the host of the King Heroes Journey podcast. What's our journey? Seems like we have all had a collective journey here together, right? Well, we're right here right now, so maybe this is part of our journey. You can go to bethmartins.com. You can find information about the House of Free Will. Ladies and gentlemen, standing behind me, Beth Martins.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So great to be here. Oh my gosh, am I grateful to be here. What a beautiful, beautiful place, beautiful audience. I want to have a huge shout out to Rebecca, who is the stage manager, has been assisting all the steps of the way. God bless you for everything. It's made it very graceful for me. Shout out to Jeff and the invitation, how generous they've been with us speakers, and for all of you for being here and caring. I want to make a special shout out to my House of Free Will friends who are here. Don't get close to the speaker, apparently. And I want to just say thank you, Carolyn and Marco and Patty, for coming. Patty brought my books. Like a king hero, she brought my books. So I have 7 entire ones if Dusty Nuss still is wanting one. Okay. Yeah, so. Yes, yeah, so luckily they can still get it at my website. And so we're very fortunate. Shout out to Luigi, who gets all of this technology going. I'm going to be speaking about ascension myth busting. I want to tell you just a little bit about myself first. I was going to get a clicker, and there it is. Okay, so first I just want to let you know that Rebecca is right now passing around a list. I'm talking about ascension myth busting. I'll tell you what that is. And there's a whole lot more that I'm not going to have time for today. So what I'm doing, if you want to put your name and your email in my list there, I will send you 2 other presentations that I've done on this subject where I've covered a lot more than I can today. But I made this talk special for you guys, for the King Heroes. If you don't know what a king hero is, you're willing to go the distance. I imagine getting here wasn't that easy. Put up your hand if you had to work really hard to get here. That was us too, 36 hours travel. Batty knows it. And so that's just a little example of how we go the distance. And we have special problems to deprogram that may be very unobvious. So you might be hearing what I'm saying going like, nope, that's not me. Nope, nope, that's not me. But my subject is about the unconscious, something that it literally means you don't see it, you don't experience it until you do. So first, before I get started, I would like to introduce myself a little bit more for those who don't know me. And good, I can read that. Thought I was going to have to look at my phone. Let's see how close I can get. As you mentioned, I'm a deprogramming coach. And I became a coach trainer thanks to COVID. That was fantastic. Instead of laying down to die, I thought, God, what shall I do now that will serve me and serve others? And so I created a coaching training that I have one of my apprentices now who's apprenticing in the training after 5 rounds of it. And it gave me new blood, new creativity so that I just wasn't in despair. I'm also the founder of the House of Free Will, which is a private domain association where my best friends are. And it is by application only, so I will give you an opportunity if you leave me your name and an email to become a member where we talk about truth, we talk about health. It's all solutions because I don't want to talk about problems all day. There's absolutely no good could come of that. If you don't have a solution, I don't even want to talk about the problem myself. I'm the author of a book called Journey, A Map of Archetypes to Find Lost Purpose in a Sea of Meaninglessness. So this is the copy. You'll have to approach me if you want one of the 7 left. And they are also online at my website. I am a stand for the hero's journey. I'm an archetype reader. I'm a pattern hunter. And the hero's journey is the biggest pattern that we have. So it's not enough to just go and solve your own problems and your own challenges. You might notice that when you solve your own problems, you automatically want to help others do it. It comes up, no one has to tell you to go do that. I notice all of my people who heal to a degree, they're like, okay, well, how do I serve others now? I'm also the survivor of what I call a corporate lymphoma. I nearly dropped dead almost 25 years ago, trying to be the king hero, trying to ascend in two areas, in spirituality. I went to India 8 times, had a guru on a mountain. I was going to get enlightened. And at the same time, I was working in the corporate world with my family, trying to be the king hero for their life and their business and for myself, of course. And then it nearly killed me. So this is where all of my inner teachings come from. And I want you to know that this talk is perfect for you if you're the person who shoulders a very big responsibility. You step up, you don't step down, you don't slink away. You're willing to face a challenge head on. You ask the big questions and you don't mind who doesn't love you because of it. You are positive and productive despite what craziness is going on in the world. You maintain your creative disposition and will to serve. You don't take poison injections at all costs. That's pretty much us, eh? and you take the lead in some way. So the king archetype, we all have it. Some of us are more there than others. Some of us are really truly leading in our world. Others are the leader of our families. But the king, you will find it everywhere, in everyone. And it doesn't have to be this hard. So many people working so incredibly hard. And what happens when you work too hard over time? Is it sustainable for the most part? You burn out. Exactly. And that's what happened to me. I was so burnt out that I was dying. And so now I'm a stand to help people not get that far into the darkness before they turn around and make new choices about their life. So we talk about programming all the time. It's very popular in the truth world. And it doesn't mean what you might think it does. So we look at the symptoms and the signs. You can just shout it out. Like, what do you think is programming other than I got it on the slide here? So a belief in government propaganda and media propaganda. We think that's programming. Well, it's not programming. It is the symptom of programming. It's on the outside. That's what you can see. The programming is invisible on the inside. The dependency on the public system, same thing, following orders that make no sense at all. And of course, following the gurus that make no sense or leave you completely depleted of energy when you hear them. So what are programs actually in reality? They are these things, unconscious. That means hidden from you. You can't see it, you can't feel it. You don't know it's there. You will claim that it's not there. But in my experience, 100% of the time, when people are brave enough to go looking for unconscious programming, then they find them without fail. So you can, do I want to go deeper? Do I want to burn out less? Do I want to require less energy in order to do the work that I do? Programming is also a signature vibration. It can be recognized like the patterns David Icke was just talking about in a bit of a different context. So everything vibrates as an energy, except the source of those vibrations. They can be recognized like a very specific, oh, wow. And it breaks down into very small amounts of signature vibrations. We're not dealing with a whole, I can count it on 2 hands how many programs there are to deal with. So they distill down very beautifully into the signature vibration. Programs make no sense, right? We've seen that. A lot of people are making no sense these days. Governments make no sense. Airports make no sense. They want you to be in that nonsense world. So when you go, oh, well, it's not logical that this program is telling me I'm going to die, therefore I'm going to discount it. But that's the nature of the unconscious, it will be beaconing out things like you're going to die. You're not in control. Nobody loves you. You can't have wholeness or oneness in your life. And they don't make sense, but they're there. They're also very much an artificial intelligence. So we know about AI out there, what they're trying to take over our own hearts and minds with. It's exactly the same inside the AI. It operates not with any of its own life force, but with your life force. You might have heard already the expression tacit agreement, right? We tacitly agree to all kinds of stupid things in the world, like the scanners at the airport when you go through and they flash you 10 times. When I came back from an Acapulco in 2020, where I spoke for the first time, I saw the scanners and I just went up and I said, I don't want to do that because it gives me a headache. I just tried it. I thought, what's the worst that can happen? They'll say you have to. And then the lady says, okay, just go to the front of the line. And I'm like, wow, what else don't I have to do? That makes no sense. So the programs are identical. And they are what I call promisers. They promise to make you safe and survive. They promise to give you a sense of control over your life. They promise to give you love in your life, but they never deliver. They never give you that. They only promise that. And then we are chased by them. So you have to take this all in faith if you haven't seen it for yourself yet, but you might be hearing some clues from your own experience. So in preparation for this talk, I wanted to distill it down into a nice amount of time because it is quite a body of work. And the two primary programs that I want to talk to you about are special for King Heroes. They tend not to say that I can't. Every time I ask Rebecca for help with something, she has an I can attitude. And we love that I can attitude. It's way more functional for life. It works better. Everything works better when you feel like you can. A lot of people in the world might struggle with the feeling that they can't. And what people don't know is that, and this is the first form of ascension that I'd like to share with you. I can't is a very low vibration. You have a sense like, oh, poor me, you know, why me, despair, fear, all of that. Once you bump yourself up into I can, then you are in higher emotions, higher vibration, higher frequency, and we love that. We feel good, like, oh, I've arrived. But it is not an arrival. It is two sides of the very same identical coin. I can and I can't are the same vibration at the level of the program. And so King Heroes gets stuck in the I can, because who wants to give that up? You don't want to go back to I can't, right? That's not acceptable. But not knowing that they're two sides of the same coin, what happens? You suppress the crap out of the I can't. And by suppressing it, it costs you all of your life energy. And so you get the work done, but at great cost. So the point of giving this talk today is the possibility that the kings could operate with much more ease and therefore be able to have much more effect. King Heroes tend to run that I can, and it is actually more expensive than I can't. It takes more energy to run that side of the program. So you're actually further behind in some ways energetically. I'll tell you first why I can does work. You get shit done, right? Look at Catherine. How much shit does she get done? It's amazing. You don't back down from the challenge. You are fearless enough to learn. You create things and you take risks, right? These are things that you're not going to do when you're in an I can't place. Now, I can works against you in some places and ways that might be unobvious to you. So it's funny, it's here. It drives you from a hidden fear. You don't know it's there and you might think it's not there. Everybody tells me they're not afraid. All my King Hero friends would say they're not afraid. And I'm not here to argue with you, but if you want to go deeper and you want to reclaim more of your life force and feel more vital
and depend less on stimulants to keep going, right? How much caffeine do you have to consume, or worse? It literally requires energy reserves to run that I can side of the program. It makes you cling to the belief that you can, so you go into denial and again suppression of the I can't. It therefore keeps you in the unconscious in the process. So as I mentioned, I can is ascension. It's up the scale from I can't. But it's unsustainable because, and here is the one of the punchlines, is that as above, so below. If you are creating a whole bunch of high energy in the high frequencies, you are simultaneously creating and revealing a whole bunch of low energy. You can't have one without the other. They are a package deal. And so by rising and rising and rising and rising, you're making so much work for yourself. And as I've said a few times, the worst part is you don't see it. Nothing is going wrong in your life. Everything might be going right. Whereas when you're in that I can't place, maybe your relationships don't work and your health fails and things blow up in your face and you have a lot of problems that will motivate you to do some of the inner work. When you're up in the I can, you have no motivation. Everything's going fantastic, right? So ain't broke, don't fix it until you discover that it's not actually what you want. So you lose your vitality in the process. Relationships can go to pot. You actually get targeted. Put up your hand if you get targeted by I can't people, right? You see it all the time. You see it all the time. It's a sign. It is a symptom. You get stuck in the higher emotions of lust, anger, pride, and courage. We'll talk about a scale of emotion as well at some point. Oh, now. So there are spirals. Spirals is the nature of God's universe, or God's, I don't know, I don't use the word universe much anymore, but God's world, wherever we are on a realm. David Weiss made me promise to mention him on stage. So there it is. I work with primarily two scales, the emotional scale and the archetypal scale. The emotional scale is sourced from two people that had almost identical realizations, Lester Levinson and David Hawkins. They saw the emotional scale and the vibration of the individual emotions. If you can read it, it goes from the very lowest experience of apathy, where you don't care about anything. You might feel helpless. And it is the most difficult experience, even though it could be entirely numb when you don't feel anything. Tiredness. This is all apathy. And then you move up the scale into grief. Some people who are in apathy actually commit suicide when they get to grief, because all of a sudden they can feel the pain. But you don't want to stop there, moving up the scale again into fear. And then that's the lower end of the scale. Once you rise again into lust and you want something, and you have the motivation to go and get something you didn't have or do something you didn't do. And then anger, we might be very familiar with that. I know that's my go-to. I don't get afraid, I get mad. And my mom too. Then you've got a very special part of the spiral called pride, where we feel we have arrived. I'm good. Everybody else isn't good, but I'm good. And it's a point of separation. Very expensive to run pride. To me, all of the tyrants in the world that are challenging our well-being, to say it very lightly, are often stuck in pride, unless they're the outright psychopath that knows what they're doing. Then you got courage, acceptance, and peace, which we love, right? It's great to be courageous. You do the thing that you didn't think you could do. And that's beautiful. We love that. Much better than fear. Acceptance, also amazing. You must come into acceptance in order to do any kind of inner work. As long as you're trying to change something, it stays the same. Has anybody noticed that? No one? One person. Yes. Excellent. Two. Right on. And then what we consider to be the highest vibration of peace. It is the biggest dimension. There's the most experiences included in there.
and we love our piece and we think it's fantastic. Now, if this is a spiral and peace is not the end, because a spiral goes on and on, what is the next feeling up from peace? Apathy. You've got it. Dustiness, you got it. It's amazing, right? So you don't really get off the scale by getting up to peace. And if you'll notice, all my days in India taught me I would land in bliss. And then next thing you know, I got my face on the floor and I don't care about anything. What happened to my bliss? So people get addicted to that. And I'll talk about that more. The next scale that I work with is archetypal. I write about it in my book, The 8 Archetypes of the Hero's Journey, as I found them inside myself. I took full license to find them inside myself. There are some parallels with other people. So we've got the child, where you are tasked and you have no idea what's going on and you don't know where to go or what to do. And yet God is calling you on the journey, the hero's journey, which is very big. So the child is tasked with that. What am I here for? Put up your hand if you have that question. There you go. And it's not just once that we pass through this, because you're already onto it about the spiral. The next step is the rebel, where you give yourself permission to stand up and say no. No was my first word. There's a lot of traps with the child, for example, in denial, in overwhelm, in all of the not knowing, the confusion, all of those places, the lost feelings, we get stuck. But when you rise up into the rebel, then you're willing to like take on the fight. I'm not just going to sit here and be a victim to whatever's happening. I'm going to fight against it. The rebel gets stuck fighting without a good cause, without a purposeful cause. The warrior comes next, where we decide, okay, I'm going to dig in. I'm going to roll my sleeves up. I'm going to do the work, whatever it takes to build a foundation based on purpose over time. And I'm not going to give in to the lack of discipline and all of those things that will cause us to not do the work. The next archetype, when you cross over from the first half to the next half of this spiral, you land. Oh, no, I'm one ahead of myself. Okay, first is the nurturer. Now, the nurturer is a huge archetype in my world. There's literally no one who comes through my door that doesn't suffer with the nurturer's blues. Gets a chapter in my book. This is where you have a helping spirit. Put up your hand if you have a helping spirit. A lot of people. Now, what happens when you help a lot and you help everybody, right? And then you don't help yourself, what happens? You crash and burn. Exactly, you crash and burn. So this is extremely common. I help a lot of people with this one. Once you get good boundaries and you realize, oh, if I don't help myself, I can't help anybody at all. And you make and establish those boundaries, it moves you up into the lover. And you're no longer interacting in the world as an ego, which is not a bad word. That's a whole other subject I can't get into today. But you move into a much more deep relationship with the soul, with God. You no longer say, am I okay? Am I okay? Am I okay? And you're talking to God direct. Is this my purpose? Is this aligned with me? Does this have the right values? Is this moral? The lovers, they get stuck with obsession, compulsion, looking for the truth. A lot of truthers have the lover archetype. They're obsessed with the truth, but in reality, in that shadow, the unconscious part of the lover archetype, all they are really doing is finding the lies. And the lies are not the truth. The next archetype up is the hedonist, the pleasure of life, the immense pleasure that God provides for us at every turn. We are here to inherit the earth, in my opinion. The shadow of that hedonist being when you find emptiness inside and that drives you from one pleasurable experience to the next. We know that as addiction, very intense, very not pretty experience. I have a friend that's recovering from a lifetime of a cocaine addiction right now. It's a very big thing. I'm sure you're aware. The next archetype up from there is the king. And this is where you start assuming responsibility for a lot more than just yourself. You got your needs met, you're okay, and you want to go out and create a kingdom where many can thrive. Now, what kind of shadows do you think the king suffers from? I can't hear. Loneliness. Oh, that is a shadow. You're right. Very good. One that's you're bang on, actually. Because once you rise, you have less friends and you have less people that can advise you. Yep, bang on. Nice. The big shadow that we see these days is the tyrannical king, right? They're running roughshod. They are addicted. Where the hedonist was addicted to pleasure, the king is addicted to power at all cost. And so we have so many examples of that in our lives. Once you overcome the perils of power, it moves you up again on this ascension scale into an archetype called the alchemist. And the alchemist is the biggest of all of the ranges, same as peace when you get up the emotional scale. And it is the advisor to the king. So the king has some reflection. Who am I? Where am I? Again, questions like, is this moral? Is this right? Is this actually serving? And so the alchemist is the time for deep healing, defracturing, defragmenting the consciousness, which is what happens when we are programmed. We have parts of ourselves that don't talk to each other. So that's the most I can say on the spirals right now. There's a lot more in the presentations that I'm going to send you by email if you sign up on that list. So five stages of ascension that I recognized that start in peace. We love our peace. Everybody wants peace. But the peace and the bliss and the security of that peace, they turn into apathy, like we talked about, the lowest human experience possible. Bliss turns into apathy. Apathy turns into a loss of empathy. A loss of empathy means you can't feel for the other person. So when you harm them, maybe accidentally or on purpose, you can't feel that. That leads to dissociation, where you literally do have splits. Maybe you have alters is the word for it. Split personalities, parts of yourself that don't talk. I was speaking with Matt Presti this morning. He was saying how his friends or his brother could recognize what was happening with 9/11, but they couldn't recognize COVID or something. I'm sure I mangled that. But you can see how that works, where you think, oh, they're alive to the truth now, but no, their parts don't talk to each other. And then the fifth stage is psychopathy, where you literally, you can harm people with no inner consequence as if, but you're just not aware of it. So what next? Or what, if that's where ascension is headed, what is the alternative? To exit to freedom through the doors. After COVID hit and I was studying all of this and I was looking and seeing how every single one of the positions on the scale of emotion and the archetypes, and I'm sure many other scales as well, are rooted in fear programming. If you look, you will see that, as I mentioned at the beginning. And so I asked God, why to create so much suffering, right? Apathy, grief, fear, lust, anger, pride. We know those to be suffering. We don't know courage, acceptance, and peace are a form of suffering, even though we love them. And so God said, Beth, I looked up, what? God said, they are all doors to freedom. So that means that no matter where you are on a scale of emotion or a scale of an archetype, whether you're in I can't programming or I can programming, every single one of those is a door to freedom that you are called to go through at some point in your life. So there's three keys to deprogramming. This is going to be on my NFT, by the way. If you guys are going to look at the auctions, every one of the speakers gets an NFT with their picture. And mine is going to say this, that you can heal only what you can feel. If you're not aware of it, you can't heal it. If you can't see it, you can't release it.
our feelings, our inner experience, all of the programming is weaponized against us on purpose. Our controllers know that if we're suffering, what's the last thing that we're going to do is go more inside, right? We don't want to feel, we don't want to have that terrible experience. So instead, what we're going to do is suppress, deny, put it off. And again, King Heroes to the max. The second key, you can never be defeated by your own creations. He who creates controls, we know that from the law. And so if you start to see, oh, I installed this program, not with my conscious agreement, with my tacit agreement, my unconscious agreement, then you are in control again. You're always in control. You just don't have that illusion of being out of control. So you don't have to be afraid of anything that you find in the unconscious. And it's freaky. I have found literally rivers of death inside myself. I've had to die over and over and over again in my life. And here I am. It never hurt me. The third key to deprogramming is that freedom is on the other side of every experience, high and low. So your high doesn't get you closer to freedom. By chasing high frequencies, you're not further ahead than the guy that you think has low frequencies. And so the purpose of life is not to ascend and have high energy. The purpose of life is to go on the hero's journey, to be royally humbled, right? All of my life, anything great, it makes me humble. It doesn't make me like, wow, me. It is to be focused and also change your ways so that you turn around and you see, where have I gone wrong? Where have I hurt people? Where am I working against myself? Where am I losing my life? And so ultimately that you can return to your people with the elixir being what you learned, how you overcame whatever challenge that you faced in yourself, then you can help somebody else do it in their life as well. So here is the conclusion. I should look at the time to see where we're at. I'm going to have lots of time for questions here. So where do you want to go from I can? Once you've seen inside yourself the attachment to I can, that's a very important thing to see. Where do you go from I can to I am? Where you're no longer spiraling on the scales of emotion or the archetypes or any other scales that exist. Moving from I can to I am means letting go of the program architecture. The architecture, it has a very specific, recognizable vibration inside your system. It is a building that you go in every day that you're not aware of. If you built it, you can unbuild it. You can let it go. You can release it. You can heal it. Those are all words for the very same thing, deprogramming, all the same. And then you can begin to move with the organic nature of I am that has no cost, right? Is it in Exodus in the Bible when somebody's going to have to help me with details. It was Moses. And he was up, I believe, he was up against the enemy. And he went to God and he said, who am I to be up against the enemy? And who are you? And God's answer was, I am. Tell your enemy that I am has sent you. And this is the place where we can operate in. People talk about flow. They talk about, you know, the words are unfortunately meaningless in a way, but they're all pointers to the same thing. And from this place of I am, there's no drain of energy. It's full on creativity. There's no interloper between you and your creator. You don't need anybody's permission to do what you do. And you're basically free. Even if the results are catastrophic. For example, when I started to speak out against the COVID restrictions, my entire extended family vacated. They decided I'm not a good one anymore. Now, I'm extremely fortunate because all of the good ones flooded in after that. Lots of new family and beautiful souls.
around me. So there can appear to be a cost to I am, but it's no cost at all. So out of the chaos that is the I can and the I can't comes the order of creating for the sole purpose of I am. You're not driven because you want something, right? God doesn't want anything, is my direct experience inside myself. God wills everything, doesn't want anything. And this is as in that relationship with God, which is really not separate from you, though you're not God over anyone or anything. That's the place of freedom right there. So I just want to make sure you guys know that if you would like to join the House of Free Will, where we have several people are communing, it's all online, so you can be literally anywhere in the world. It is a private association, so it's by application only. I want to make sure that we are brothers and sisters, and there's no people who love injections and masks and the government and all of that kind of thing. The King Hero's Journey podcast is one of my all-time favorite things to do in life. I have actually interviewed many people here already. I just was canceled on YouTube, so they took my channel down, unfortunately. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. I put a tweet out on X, and then next thing you know, Jeff shows up and says, "I'm disappointed it took so long." So I'm back up on, I've got a new YouTube. I'm also on Rumble. Rockfin had already been well established. I could see the writing on the wall. I'm on Facebook, X, Spotify, iTunes, all of those channels. So if you want to hear the podcasts of interviews of King Heroes who are willing to get out there, do something remarkable, do something that really is not just for their own aggrandizement, not for their own well-being only, but that they're doing it for other people, taking on the hardship and putting themselves through immense amounts of work so other people can benefit. There's a whole bunch of you guys here. And you can visit my website, bethmartins.com. Freewillministry.live is also the very same URL. And the best thing ever, because all of these platforms depend on somebody. If you sign up with your email that with the list is going around, does anyone have that list right now, by the way? It's made its way to the back. Then that's the fail-safe way to stay in connection. I have two workshops coming up. One of them is tomorrow, the archetypes of controlled op. So this is a fascination for me. I feel like I didn't choose it, but here I am hiring myself for this job after 4 years of chaos and pandemonium. And we supposedly have the liars and the truthers, right? Well, it's not exactly that cut and dry. And I started to notice that there were a lot of characters on the truth stage. And there were patterns, because I'm a pattern hunter. My brain does it whether I'm trying or not. And so I have found 8 primary archetypes of controlled op that help you to find patterns. Because me just running around and saying like, controlled op alert, every time somebody sends me a scary video, it's not enough. I want to teach the patterns so you guys can recognize them for yourself. And there's some really beautiful knowledge that comes in terms of knowing yourself in the process. A King's Calling is specifically for those that have come to a new place in their life. Maybe they feel like they're in the child archetype again. Even though you have a lot of accomplishments and you've done a lot of work and you've come a long distance, but all of a sudden you find yourself asking the question, what am I doing here? What is my life about? What is the next stage? What is the next step? And it can be very difficult to pivot from the place of the King, because you might have a whole world created out of that already. So that's what I want to help with. Now, you don't have to be necessarily so accomplished already. If you're just wanting to find that inner King inside yourself, then that would be a good one. That's coming up Friday the 16th. Also, there's an open mic. So what's Scott's last name, and his wife, beautiful musicians and singers. I'll probably be up here doing a couple of songs. I believe it's tonight for the open mic. This is my book, as I mentioned. It is the 8 chapters for each archetype on the spiral that I talked about. It also includes a lot of details about my cancer journey, how I survived using archetypes only after fighting for my life for 3 years, when everybody was saying, you're not going to survive this and you need to do a stem cell transplant, which half the people die doing, it was a moment of truth for me. Like, what is taking my life? It was the first time I ever really consciously experienced my fear of dying in a very profound way. I met it head on rather than always trying to run from death, which is what happens to us. And so there's a lot of details in there, excuse me, and a lot of stories to illustrate, because archetypes are best told through story. This is a course. I'm also auctioning this off. It's at my website, Find Your Sacred Purpose. There was a day, I thought it was normal for everybody that knew their sacred purpose. I came out of it on the heels of a lot of treatments that were quite evil to my body, quite poisonous to my body. I was deathly ill. Every day was a new level of death for me. There was a day where I finally couldn't even sit up, never mind get out of bed or do anything for myself. It was the moment where I decided I was no longer going to be an I can person, right? Until then, it was like, I can do this. I'm going to beat this. All of that crazy language that comes out around the cancer world. And I surrendered to death. I let death have me. Okay, let's go, whatever this is. And I had the most profound experience that I did not expect. I write about it in my book, and it moved me to see and download a great deal of what my purpose is, which is a constantly evolving thing. Don't think that you're going to find one thing and you found it. It is a life's work. This is a course that decodes that, gives some very simple steps. We're going to go through some of those steps in the King's Calling workshop. This course you can do on my website. By the way, just want to make sure you know that if you use the code REBORN at my website, then that gets you only anarchopoco people, 10% off both my book and the course. So it's not a given. People don't know what they're doing. And that was a really fun one to decode specifically for the truth and freedom movement people. And you can also finally, but there's a quiz at my website where in 10 minutes, you can find out where on the path of purpose you are. In reality, you are all the archetypes because we are one. There's no not being one. But you can find out where you're tending to default at this time in your life. If it is a particular place like the child, the rebel, the warrior, the nurturer, the lover, the hedonist, the king, or the alchemist, then you know, you get a map of where you're most stuck. And that's what I didn't have. Nobody gave me a map, or I didn't find a map until I started to work with archetypes. So that's why I'm really passionate about helping people to look through this window. And you can just answer some simple questions. It will notice patterns and it will shoot you a result right away so that you can get started and start to actually do some of that work for yourself. So I'm not sure if there's another slide or not. Oh, yes. And then just to repeat, if you want to receive a lot more information on ascension myth busting, because I didn't talk a lot about the whole spiritual side of it after 8 trips to India and the goal to become enlightened in my life and getting so sick doing it. What was happening while my body was getting sick? It wasn't an overnight thing. It was a little trickle at a time. And so that's why I'm super passionate about helping people to notice this path. I've been extremely happy to see how many people actually are already hip to it. I thought it was going to be such a rebel with this topic, but I've met many, many people. Several speakers are speaking about the same thing in their own different words, but it's the same. When we find the truth, it's the truth. So I don't know where we're at for time. I did not get the 10-minute mark yet. I think I'm going fast here. 5 minutes. Okay, perfect. So we have a few minutes for questions. Does anybody want to ask or say anything? Go ahead. Great question. I'll repeat that. So how do my writings compare to Carl Jung? And I took a little bit from Carl Jung. It's my way. I take a little bit from everything and then I run with it. I studied about archetypes in my degree in anthropology, but I didn't work with them until it was I was in such trouble that I couldn't decode the mystery. And so Jungians tend to not like me. I've literally been hired for talks for Jungian groups, and they fire me before I come. I'm not sure exactly why, but I'm not a Jungian. And I think Matt Presti was saying how there can be a lot of narrative in their own, you know, attachment to their own systems and beliefs. There are some ways I would agree with Jung and many ways I would disagree with Jung. For example, he considered archetypes to be like an entity with a life. And to me, archetypes are much more of a blueprint, a God's creation, or even a lens for God's energy, light to shine through. It's up to us with our free will to pick that up and do something with it. It doesn't do anything by itself. Now, I think entities are real, but a different thing, maybe not unrelated. But yeah, so yeah, the Jungians tend not to like me. And I think he might have been controlled off. Just kidding. Yeah, he was an elite, right? So he was in a very special place. So thanks for that question. Yeah. Anything else anyone wants to ask or say? Carolyn Miss. Yeah, so Carolyn Miss, she wrote a book called The Sacred Contracts. And when I was being faced with that decision to either do a stem cell transplant or what they said was die, then that book came to me. She published that year. And I didn't even know what it was about. I just grabbed it. And like, wow. Now, it had no methods, but it did have a very good system for looking at archetypes and lots of examples of archetypes. And I love her. In a way, I owe her my life because it was such a catapult into this kind of work to find where I was losing my life. And I do notice that at this time, she's not awake to any agendas or anything like that. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's surprising. I know it's very surprising when people you think that are so awakened, right? And that might be the symptom of the ascension. I found she never really did her own work. Yeah, what she recommended. Yeah. So yes, go ahead. So he's asking about Joseph Campbell's work, The Hero with 1,000 Faces, which is the classic hero's journey work. And I started to reread it when I was writing my book because that was the subject. And what I discovered in there, very interesting, trauma-based mind control going on. Talking about, you know, for example, how they take a young boy out of the hands of the mother or the parents and throw them in the forest and make them suffer or cut off body parts or whatever, right? So I had to abandon that book. I couldn't take it. By the way, I'm a recovering feminist. I should have put that in my list. And I really am. I was at war with my own inner masculine, it turns out, but it showed up as a war with men. And so I was always on my soapbox saying every problem in the world is because of men. I was very sure of that. And then after my father died and I worked with that masculine feminine archetype, which is actually a big part of my controlled opposition workshop tomorrow, then I healed that part of myself. I was no longer at war inside myself, and I was no longer at war with men. Like a miracle, actually. So amazing. And anyway, that's a little tangent on that. I always just take a little bit of what I can use and then I move on. So yeah. Thank you for that question. I appreciate it. Yeah. Anything else you guys want to ask or say? I'll let you know that if you would like to connect to find a coach, either to get to do some work with myself or one of my now graduated teachers and even apprentices, that you can reach out to me, beth@bethmartins.com. We can get on a call, we can talk and see if you could make use of the deprogramming work or not. Not everybody can, because again, if you can't feel, you can't heal. And it must be your own will. Nobody can take you into your unconscious for you. This is something about healers that I have actually a very big beef with. They're like, oh, can I go and work on you or in you? no, you can't. And I don't think you should. I think that's a breach of boundaries. But once you make the decision, you decide, I'm going in. I'm going to find something I didn't know about myself. I'm going to see what I don't like about myself, what I don't believe about myself. And then it's completely different. For example, my son, I was talking about him. He was kind of late for everything, late getting out of his diapers, late, you know, everybody thought he was nursing too long, all of that usual stuff. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to be the parent, well, first parent in my entire family to let him choose all of his what do they call that? Markers, milestones. Thank you. Perfect. And he did it, right? When he decided, there was one time that my son got hurt quite badly, actually. And I said, oh, would you like to nurse? Because that was his way to get comfort. And then he looks up at me, says, no, mama, like this. He never nursed again. And it was like the sky opened up and all of this power came pouring through in his being because he chose it. Right? Nobody forced him. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I know, you know, circumstances can be very different. But when we choose and we go in and we face our bigger fears, maybe our biggest fears, and even the threat of death itself, you come out the other side and you go, oh, wow, I didn't die. Was that program telling me the truth or was it lying to me? Ah, it's a liar. Is there another question? Maybe that was something else that they're talking. So did I answer that question? Got a little sidetracked there. Thehouseoffreewill.live or .live. Yeah, but it's all bethmartins.com. The two roads lead to the same place. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to be around for the rest of the week, of course, at the workshops. And my book is... I'll have them handy. So if anybody would like to get a copy, I only have 7 and I know Patty's going to hold it to me that I don't bring any home. So there you go. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here. It was really a pleasure to speak. Totally honored to be here. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was fantastic.
Alrighty, so that's a wrap. That was the whole thing. Yeah, it's pretty wild to hear yourself back. I don't put up your hand if you don't like hearing recordings of yourself. I'm actually not one of those people to the degree that I used to be. It used to be like just a big no, like I'll do the thing, but I'm not going to listen. And more I will let myself listen because it's a big learning. Every time you listen to yourself, you actually, you know, improve. And so, yeah, highly recommend that. And thank you, Susie. I totally appreciate your love and kindness there. And mark your hands up. Let me know what your hands up for exactly. If you want to contact me, you want to connect, you want to get that talk that I did on the archetypes of controlled op. I provided the stage recording. It's not like the best recording. It was just my iPhone off the stage. But it's there, and some additional trainings that I did, or one workshop from Soulshine Festival last year where I was just starting to get into this subject. And that's for the Ascension Myth Busting. So you can also sign up for that. I got all kinds of things on the go. And just to let you know, I am preparing a training for the nurturers that I was talking about, where you tend to want to help everybody, and then you do help everybody, and then you crash and you burn, and then you don't help anybody because you're on the floor and you can't even help yourself anymore. And then you recover from that, and then you go back to helping everybody, and then you fall down because you don't have your needs met and you don't get the things that you need out of every day. And then you say to everyone, like, get away. I don't even want to, and don't ask me for help ever again. I hate you. I'm leaving. And this is what I call the nurturer's pendulum. So I'm preparing a free training again that is going to precede a course where I just really feel to be of service to the nurturers that struggle with that pendulum swing. It is brutal. And I know I've been there and I've done a lot of work to get out of there. So it's super, super valuable. If you put your hand up if you don't like hearing yourself. Got it. Thank you, Mark. Yeah, good. You're listening. Excellent. Hey, RMASB, thank you. I appreciate that very much. You're hiding away, not very chatty. That's okay. No worries. I often do that. I'll listen to a live stream and just in the background, barely say anything. And we can awaken your mind. It took me a while to see that yeah part. Dissolving the divide within. Wow, interesting story of healing, balancing the masculine, feminine. There you go. It's such a big subject that is absolutely enormous. I do cover it in my course called Primal Power. It got one of the modules in there. And learning to navigate those two archetypes is priceless. They're not even two. They're really one. Like I said, two sides of the same coin. And yeah, super, super good, because we've been completely screwed on that masculine feminine, where people don't know what up and down is and what their role is supposed to be in life. And, you know, I've worked a lot on this, and I caught myself the other day trying to assert my masculinity and, you know, convince somebody of the value of my purpose, just like I was talking to my dad 30 years ago. And then it's like, okay, shake my head. What's the program? Oh yeah, she's trying to win. That's one of the programs. I can't win. And letting it go and then coming back to nature, because that's the beautiful part, that deprogramming is a process. You never have to reprogram. You never in a million years need to reprogram. You got everything that you need. You were given that. You were born with that. It's all inside you. So you don't have to go searching for it, and you don't have to sit and listen to people make affirmations and tell you things, because you already know inside yourself. Yeah, it took a while to get over hearing yourself too. Yeah, yeah, it's a really good exercise. I do recommend it, even if you don't necessarily plan to go public with it, but just recording yourself. I love the iPhone for that reason, that you can go to the voice app and just make notes for yourself. And then I will sing and play my guitar and play it back. And I usually should wait until the morning to think about sharing it. One time I shared out something and I'm like, oh my goodness, did I really share that? I was so happy with myself when I did it. But yeah, so that's another, edge for me, let's say. Maybe next year, if I'm going to be at Enricapulco again, maybe I am, then maybe I'll be doing some singing as well. I want to make sure and let you guys know, since you're still here, that I am having Miguel Connor on tomorrow. He is the creator of Ion Bite Gnostic Radio, very popular radio show. And I've known Miguel for a number of years now. It's been fantastic. Had a chance to interview him. I've been on his show at least a couple of times. And then I went through my whole Christian phase, and Gnosticism became the devil. And we're going to talk about the shadow side of Gnosticism. So that's going to be really interesting. And I know he's pretty committed to that path, because he named his whole platform after it. And like everything, there's truth to be gleaned. And he himself is just such a beautiful guy. I really love him. And it was fun, because it was by accident. There was another Miguel that came in the chat one day and was saying stuff. And I'm like, oh, Miguel, I was just thinking about you. You should come on my show again. And it wasn't even him. So when I messaged, it was a little out of the blue, but we're doing it anyway. So tomorrow, Miguel is on my show. And then on Friday, I'm on Miguel's show. Super good. And you have that morning voice. There you go. Yeah, the morning voice. The voice is a signature. I have learned as a coach to track the voice. Now, I've never systematized this. It's purely an intuitive process. I don't know exactly how to teach it, other than asking people, did you hear that? Because when people have a breakthrough, when they have a revelation, seeing something they didn't see inside themselves, like a program or an archetype or some kind of message that was working against them, and they make a new choice, they choose freedom instead of going with that unconscious AI thing that I talked about, the programs, then their voice is different after. It gives it away. If there's been a healing, like you actually can't lie to me and my coaches, not that people really do that, but sometimes you're like, oh yeah, I feel better. Like this, I think I feel better. And then you know they didn't. But the moment that transformation happens, boom, there's a different tone in their voice. And I was going to interview someone. I reached out to her that was on Coachable 7. Now, offhand, I'm kind of forgetting her name. And she agreed immediately, but then she never booked with me. So I need to follow up. She's made a science out of that the sound of the voice. The voice carries a great deal of information. And then say it's first thing in your morning, even though it's the afternoon, but you just woke up. I know you just woke up because there's that morning voice kind of thing. And that's not to call anybody out at all. So yeah, Miguel's coming on tomorrow. And then next Monday, if you guys are fans of Alpha Vedic, which I have to imagine you are, Mike Winner is coming on for an interview. And we're going to talk about thinking and destiny and some really deep subjects. He gave a fantastic talk at Anarchapulco. I got to meet him in the flesh, give him a hug. And you know, people are good people, but sometimes until you meet them really face to face and get to put your arms around them and feel their space and how they are with you, I just fell in love with them. I'm like, okay, we got to do a show with Mike. So he's coming on Monday. And then shout out to Josh Del Sol, who introduced me to the creator of the film that's going around called Kingdom. If you're not familiar with Kingdom, fantastic short. It is at least his second since the pandemic. The first one, it's called The Forest Something or Other. It was depicting as in animation the more like dark side of our pandemic, and you know, like all of the really sad souls with their face and heart and mind in devices and divided from each other and in despair. And it was, you know, it was very well, extremely well done, but it was also very like depressing and sad. And Kingdom, it again illustrates the problem, because if you don't talk about the problem, then it's hard to get to the solution. And but he also very much shows the revelation of having our own vision, right? There's nothing more powerful than having your own vision. And check and see, you guys who are listening to this or maybe the recording, how hard is it for you to all day long keep your mind on your vision of what you want in the world, what you want in your life, the answer to the question, wouldn't it be nice if, rather than paying attention to the problems, what doesn't work, who doesn't work, what you're not doing that you think you should be doing, or, you know, every little thing that goes wrong in every day of every life, there's no shortage. But if your attention is always on those things, then you're not visioning for your future. And to me, there is nothing more powerful than being able to hold that and think about, like, what would it be like if we didn't have a world full of poison? What would the body be like? What would digestion be like? What would, you know, how would you feel when you ate food that was always only ever free of poison? What would it be like if communities gathered and supported one another and brought their tools and their skills and their purposes into one whole body of Christ? And I love that expression, body of Christ, because that's how humanity experiences wholeness, is through each other, right? So I made a very good friend, shout out to him, at Anarchapulco, and I have skills he doesn't have, and he has skills I don't have. Well, together we could be pretty good team, be a pretty good team. And that's exactly how it's meant to be. We're not, it's actually impossible if we task ourselves to learning everything, becoming expert at everything. It just isn't, in one lifetime, nobody could ever do it. We must not just partner with each other, but gather and pool our resources. So I know you guys know that, but it's the vision, right? So I'm saying it to myself so that humanity overcomes the darkness and lives and inherits the light. So when I interview the creator of Kingdom, his name is Lubomir Azarov. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it properly, but oh my gosh, do I love him. I fell in love with him. There's a couple of really good interviews I'm going to be sharing around before, where he was talking about his film and talking about the depth behind it and how incredibly close he is to his work and to this cause. And he reflected that exactly, that it's really is about the vision. That's why he does the art, is so that he can hold the vision and he can share the vision with others. So the Nurturer's Pendulum, yeah, you love it. Alpha Vedic, what's not to love there? Berlando is coming into the House of Free Will, into the Private Domain Association. He's going to be doing a workshop on April 26th, and it's on bodybuilding. So another solution, something that it's not random for me. I'm always picking something that's right on. If you didn't know my story, I was ill in the fall last year, and I lost a lot of weight because I didn't digest food for, I don't know, at least two solid months, I think three in the end. And I lost every little bit of not just my body fat, but muscle and bone. I was almost gone, you guys. I didn't even realize how almost gone I was. And since then, especially since I've been back from Acapulco, I have a renewed commitment to building my body. And it's kind of good because it's like a fresh start. And it's fun. I do feel a heck of a lot stronger. I feel more solid. I am full in my clothes again. And that's amazing. So that will be really good if you'd like to take part in that workshop and get access to all the recordings of past workshops and weekly fellowship where we meet every single week. Then you can apply at my website and just tell me a little bit about yourself. It's always really good to hear. Are you one of us or not one of us, as I was saying in my talk? And yeah, the nurturer's pendulum swing reminds you of some friends struggling with that sort of thing. It's a thing. It is a thing. It's so reliable. That's the beauty of archetypes, to show us patterns that are enduring. And it's perfect that they're enduring because they're a map for us and a measure. And you can see like, oh, I'm struggling and I'm suffering. Ah, it's one archetype. Might seem like many problems, all kinds of different entanglements and people you're trying to save and some people you're trying to rescue and some that need your help and keep asking you for help. And you think you've got all these different problems and you can't pay your bills and you don't take care of yourself. At the end of every day, that by narrowing it down to one archetype and going to work to deprogram and release those shadows is priceless, because you're not working with so many problems anymore. If you solve your one archetypal problem, you solved all of those problems. And I'm here to tell you that being an awakened nurturer is absolutely life-changing and can be very frightening, because people think that when you have good boundaries, you're going to have to disappoint everyone. But what I notice is that people don't understand boundaries. They don't understand. And they think that it's just a big, like, oh, all you have to do is say no. And then that's not it at all. So I'll be talking a lot about that. I believe I'm setting a date for May 15th for that. So that's tentative right now. In it for the win-win. That's very good. And thank you so much. I appreciate that if you're talking to me. And Shadow is in the YouTube channel. Okay, I don't know what that means. Activated throat chakra. And that's all. Second that. Fantastic. Nice. So then, that's all I've got coming up. In the House of Free Will, we have also been watching Star Trek. You guys, I didn't think I'd ever watch Star Trek as an adult, like ever. But I grew up on it. Why? Because my mom and my older sister were avid Star Trek fans. It was just an absolute must that whenever that show was on, we'd be sitting there. So if I wanted to hang out with my sister and my mom, I was watching Star Trek. And I didn't really care about it. It was just a TV show. We didn't, of course, even have any deep discussions about it. But now we are. Mark Archer, who did an interview here recently, you can go back and find his episode, so to speak, of the King Hero's Journey. And he has a lot of knowledge about the Bible and about Hebrew, the actual Hebrew. And he talks about there being two Adams, not one Adam. We were, of course, lied to. There are two Adams, two lineages, those of us with free will and those without, who actually don't have a choice about what they're doing, is how he interprets the story anyway. And it kind of makes a lot of sense when you look at people out there. People always say, oh, well, how could they chemtrail? It's their own children. How could they, you know, maim and murder? And you know, is it possible there is another lineage and they just don't have basic empathy and remorse or free will, all of the things that we associate with being human? And some of those Star Trek episodes illustrate those themes. So we watched one called The Cage, very old, when they had paper mache props. So it's like, and tinfoil, just like the moon landing looks, or the moon buggy and all that moon BS. And then, but some really deep things about, you know, our controllers. I only called them that for lack of a better word, the psychopaths, the tyrants, whatever you want to say, the deep state. But you know, they don't have remorse. They can harm people every single day and it doesn't weigh on their soul, right? We're different. And in a way it puts a lot more responsibility on us who can choose good and choose evil, right? That makes us more accountable. And I like that because accountability and responsibility, that means personal power, right? If you take responsibility, that's the degree to which you have power. And I'm all over that. So yeah, vinegar does help for chemtrails. People say that all the time. I totally want to try it. It would be fun to just see it work. And I hear it all the time, especially around the eclipse. People did that many times when I didn't even think to do that. I was just recording my audiobook and enjoying. And thank you, Awaken Your Mind. I appreciate that. Yeah, it takes a lot of recovery. It takes a lot of courage to recover. And that's one of those high emotions. It's good to go through it and get there, better than shaking in your boots in fear. But it's still on that scale. Freedom is on the other side of that courage. I know because I found myself, especially pandemic-wise, that I was clinging to courage. And it doesn't seem bad, but oh my gosh, it costs a lot. So when I had that moment of truth, when I saw I was really clinging to that and was able to start letting that go, then I was able to get even higher. One more thing that's going to be coming up kind of soon is that I have a coaching training, as I was talking about in my talk. It's called Journey Code Coaching Certification. And I have just graduated a group, so they completed. Some of them have certified. There's an advanced group going to start now. And I will very soon begin to have conversations about September this year, 2024, when the next Journey Code training starts. And I'm only taking 15 students, so it's going to be having enough connection with them, having enough one-on-one. The training is no little thing. It's 7 months. And so you have to be really committed and know that you're in it for the long haul to learn some basic and reliable tools of deprogramming from a number of different angles, to learn the archetypes of the hero's journey, how to read those archetypes, how to coach with those archetypes and combine them up with the tools of deprogramming, and then how to have good standing as a coach so that it's something that you could potentially do for the long haul. I plan to coach until I'm dead. I have coached when I feel like I'm nearly dead and I can still do it. It's one of those skills that once you've got it, you can keep it and you can be valued for that because a lot more people are going to need a lot more help in our future, right? Things are not looking good in a lot of ways, although I refuse personally to live in any state of fear. Absolutely not. I don't watch fear porn anymore. I don't watch anybody talk about how, you know, everybody's going to die and the dollar's going to die and then everything's going down. Like, just, I'm sorry, excuse my language, fuck that shit, right? And I'm just not going to put my time and energy there because it takes away the creative energy and it takes away the will to help and serve others. So if you're somebody who is a helper and you would like to be a professional helper with excellent boundaries, learning the principles of coaching, the tools of coaching, and archetypes as a way to help people actually find where they're stuck, then please do put your hand up. You can visit my website, fill out a contact form, put your name and email in there, and we can jump on a call to talk about it. I'll send you all the information. And yeah, it's super amazing. They are completely transformed people at the end of 7 months. It's insane how much work. Now, it's all their choice. It's not me doing anything to them. It's providing those tools and techniques and guidelines. And then, super, super satisfying. Honestly, there's nothing more satisfying for me at all. And yeah. You too. That's great. Good to hear. Thank you. And Crow said he boiled 2 gallons the day of the eclipse. Exactly. Yeah, I was thinking, have you guys seen his footage yet? Has he put it out yet? Yeah, government does mean mind control. It really does. They give us the clue. There it is. And if you don't control your own mind, then the government is going to control your mind one way or the other. Now, I'm not actually anti-government, even though I just spoke at an Archipulco and Anarchy event. I think that there is a natural balance, and it comes down to the archetype, the masculine, feminine, right? You can't kill the masculine that is the public, that is the government. You can't kill it. It's part of nature. It's just like the very same archetype in the wild, when you've got the predators and the prey. You can't just remove the predators. If you remove the predators, the prey become predators because it's natural, right? It's a natural law. And so to me, it's about getting control of your own life, becoming a master of your own inner world. If you gain mastery over your own inner world, then no one else can be master over you, right? Then you're taking responsibility. It's your life. You are accountable. And again, like I said, that's the degree to which you have power. So yeah, there's a short clip about his filming on the website. Okay. Yeah, I'm a member, so I'll go check that out. And yes, that I found that to be very true as well. All right, my dearest. Well, I love you guys a lot. I think I've said everything that I wanted to say. I appreciate very much that you came for the live showing of this talk. If you feel to like the video, if you're on Rumble or on X or on Fakebook or on Rockfin, see, I haven't checked it. Chat there. Got a few people over on Rockfin. That's awesome. Then that does help me. So I would appreciate that. I don't often ask or even think to ask. This will be uploaded to my podcast channels probably by tomorrow. So if you prefer, anyone would prefer to listen to this offline, then you can download the podcasts from Spotify or iTunes or anywhere else. Okay. Well, have a beautiful rest of your day. I love you guys a lot. And thanks again for coming. It's been a pleasure.